A faint pinkish glow was visible along the horizon to the east. Fred brought the car lower, and Harry saw a dark patchwork of fields and clumps of trees. "We're a little way outside the village," said George. "Ottery, St. Catchpole." Lower and lower went the flying car. The edge of a brilliant red sun was now gleaming through the trees. "Touchdown!" said Fred, as, with a slight bump, they hit the ground. They had landed next to a tumble-down garage in a small yard, and Harry looked out for the first time at Ron's house. It looked as though it had once been a large stone pig pen, but extra rooms had been added here and there until it was several stories high, and so crooked it looked as though it were held up by magic, which Harry reminded himself it probably was. Four or five chimneys were perched on top of the red roof. A lopsided sign stuck in the ground near the entrance read, "The Burrow." Around the front door lay a jumble of rubber boots and a very rusty cauldron. Several fat brown chickens were pecking their way around the yard. "It's not much," said Ron. "It's wonderful," said Harry happily, thinking of Privet Drive. They got out of the car. "Now we'll go upstairs really quietly," said Fred, "and wait for Mum to call us for breakfast. Then, Ron, you come bounding downstairs going, 'Mum, look who turned up in the night,' and she'll be all pleased to see Harry, and no one need ever know we flew the car." "Right," said Ron. "Come on, Harry. I sleep at the top." Ron had gone a nasty greenish colour, his eyes fixed on the house. The other three wheeled around. Mrs. Weasley was marching across the yard, scattering chickens, and for a short, plump, kind-faced woman, it was remarkable how much she looked like a saber-toothed tiger. "Ah," said Fred. "Oh, dear," said George. Mrs. Weasley came to a halt in front of them, her hands on her hips, staring from one guilty face to the next. She was wearing a flowered apron with a wand sticking out of the pocket. "So?" she said. "Morning, Mum," said George, in what he clearly thought was a jaunty, winning voice. "Have you any idea how worried I've been?" said Mrs. Weasley in a deadly whisper. "Sorry, Mum, but you see, we had to—" All three of Mrs. Weasley's sons were taller than she was, but they cowered as her rage broke over them. "Beds empty, no note, car gone, could have crashed, out of my mind with worry. Did you care? Never, as long as I've lived. You wait till your father gets home. We never had trouble like this from Bill or Charlie or Percy." "Perfect Percy," muttered Fred. "You could do with taking a leaf out of Percy's book," yelled Mrs. Weasley, prodding a finger in Fred's chest. "You could have died. You could have been seen. You could have lost your father his job." It seemed to go on for hours. Mrs. Weasley had shouted herself hoarse before she turned on Harry, who backed away. "I'm very pleased to see you, Harry dear," she said. "Come in and have some breakfast." She turned and walked back into the house, and Harry, after a nervous glance at Ron, who nodded encouragingly, followed her.